told you the story. I was out helping a friend. We were irrigating at his place. Middle of the night, they'd had the people, you know, you can't get anybody to work anymore. And he has his field, this one farm he's got down by Secord. It's about 340 acres and all planted in oats. So I'll go down and help you. So I went down for 4 days and irrigated for the last time before they cut. And my friend Jessica went, and so I was walking the fields and checking the water and everything coming back and forth. And she got so scared, she said, "I saw this light fly across the field right at you." And she says, "And then I saw three pairs of legs, or three sets of legs, whatever, three people walking, me and two others." And then she thought, and of course, her being like, you know, growing up, especially growing up in New Mexico, she said, "There's skinwalkers in there probably going after you." I said, "Those aren't skinwalkers. They're angels." It was, but I'll tell you, it was, just to hear that said or hear her say that was such a blessing because, you know, I didn't know. I'm just walking and looking down and checking water and stuff like that. And then to know that it happens to all of us all the time. They're all around us, you know, and it's amazing. I get so excited. There's been a lot happened here in the last fall, but still trying to get to move to Denver. Looking at houses. Amy's been looking all over the place, so we'll find something. Hopefully the market comes down a little bit. I want to talk today. We talked the last time at the convention, I think, on we did the mystery of Israel's blindness. And in scripture, there is seven distinguishable mysteries in Paul's gospel. And I'm gonna bomb you with a bunch of notes again today. That way you can find them and know where everything's at. And then we're gonna talk about today the hidden mystery. And I wanna start, I'm gonna tell you this, these seven mysteries are found here. The first one we did the last, and the convention was the mystery of Israel's blindness. That's Romans 11, 25. This one today, the hidden mystery is 1 Corinthians 2, the seventh one is, the first one is Romans 11, 25, that's Israel's blindness, and you'll love the study because each time God, when he relates all this and puts everything back to where you can find it, he buries you with information that can be found throughout scripture as to why all this happened, right? The second one was the hidden mystery. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9. The mystery of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. The mystery of the bride, Ephesians 5, 32. The mystery of godliness, 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery of iniquity. The 10th one, 3:16. The mystery of iniquity is 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And the mystery of the faith is 1 Timothy 3:9. I'm going to tell you, we've talked about this before, the mystery, the definition of the word mystery to God is this. In your concordance, it's number in the Greek 3466. It means that which being outside the range of unassisted natural apprehension, outside the range of what we can naturally see, can be made only known by divine revelation and is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God alone. And to those only who are illuminated by his spirit. Amen. We talk about this, right? And I mean, being filled with the spirit is the amperage of all of it. Any electrician knows you can have a 10,000 volts, it won't electricity, but you put a little bit of amperage behind it and it'll take you out. It's the power that pushes everything. It's the power that fills us. It's the power that we grow in. You can write this down. I'm gonna read some scriptures to you. Because this is when we talk about the hidden mystery, when we talk about a hidden mystery, God means it. It's hidden. And every time he talks about this thing, I mean, it was a reason that Jesus spoke in parables. It was just to cause separation. to separate those who would hear from those that wouldn't. To separate us in this new, in this age, this church age, from those that would see, from those who that wouldn't, who would be blinded to it. It's such an amazing thing. You know, we talked about Israel's blindness that last time. It was typically, with those guys, it was just pure selfishness. They wanted the kingdom, and they wanted it now, and it wasn't for him, it was for them. They expected him to ride in grandeur and ride in on lightning and thunder, and I don't know what kind of horse they expected, but it was going to be giant. That's not how he came. He came exactly how it was prophesied. Exactly when, exactly where, exactly how, and that's exactly what was prophesied that would be happened to him, happened. And still to this day, don't recognize it. I won't get off on this because I was done, it will go over the place, but that's why with Joseph and the cup with Benjamin was when we see that part of the story was that they've got to come back and recognize him for who he was and what they did and come to the conclusion, realize that they killed the King of Glory, crucified him. And I'm going to read you some scripture here that'll read us into this about on this hidden mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." We are so blessed to live in this age. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't trade places with Daniel. I wouldn't trade places with anybody prior to that cross. Not one. And for something that was promised to another group and became ours, we need to thank them. Israel, I mean, we need to thank the Jew for getting us where we're at. And it's always been that path, you know, whether it's whether we're passing through the gates that they're watching or whether it's always been through them. That was God's people, right? That was God's chosen people. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. This is where he tells us about this. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." But it is written, but you know why they wouldn't have crucified him? Selfishness. There's something in this for me. That's not our place. That's not us. Ours is love. I want to see him enthroned. I want to see him in that exalted place. I want to see him, and I want to be there. And it's funny, even with us, a lot of times, you know, you hear about this inheritance and this bridal truth, and you hear about the what God has for us, right? And with all of us, at least with me, maybe not true to anybody else, there's a certain selfishness about that in the very beginning of our growing up in this. There's a certain thing, well, I want a reign. I want a crown. I want it, you know, when you start thinking about this. But pretty soon it becomes that love where you want to see him there. Amen. And you want to see him exalted, him enthroned, right? He says, "For which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." This Spirit teaches us. It took me the longest time. I told you before, it took me, when I first started doing Bible study, this was years ago, to realize it's not me teaching. It's him. That's that new man that's teaching, right? "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have reached not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God." We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Our cup overflows with spiritual blessing. We just need to grow. We need to grasp a hold of this and find this. I mean, I think the funnest thing, one of the funnest things about Scripture and particularly Paul's gospel, you really do have to dig. You really do have to search. You really do have to want to know. You have to want to learn. You have to sit there. I was thinking about that on the way up here yesterday. I was praying about that. And you know, that guy that had won the $1.3 billion or whatever? Well, apparently the government got most of it. They think IRS won. But if that guy said, I lost that ticket around here in Black Forest somewhere, the whole city of Colorado Springs would be helping us look for it. Right? And we can get this small little rib portion of a group come up for a Bible study. Crazy. if I could see, you know, Ball got a chance to see that. And I was telling Sophia here a little bit ago, I went on this trip, this little Jeep trip up at Silverton here, and took some friends up there because they'd never been up there. It's a beauty up there that we're driving around that you just can't explain. You can't describe it. It's like we always say, you know, what's a peach taste like? Well, you're going to just have to taste it. This is the same thing. I mean, you've got beauty up there that couldn't be explained. Paul saw what he could and was unable to speak the words. Not only that, but not to say it. And if we think about the beauty of him being enthroned, and I've prayed for dreams, I've prayed for visions, I've prayed for anything I could have to see it. And I've been close. But I think sometimes maybe you just don't remember it. I remember seeing a room. I remember seeing this beautiful, incredible place. When we get up there to Silverton and driving around up there, every single person went up there says, I can't even describe what we just saw. I've only seen a few things in my life, that being one of them, that the beauty was so great. The other was flying around that little helicopter thing in Hawaii, and you're looking at these beautiful forests and there's volcanoes and there's waterfalls coming out of the top of the mountain. Only God does that. I mean, water coming out of the top of the mountain. It's amazing. And it was the same thing down there, just waterfalls and green and beautiful, and it's something that you want everyone to experience. So is this. It's hidden. The true beauty of the gospel, the true beauty of Christ is inside of this. The true beauty of this inheritance that he's offering us is here. It's for us to get, it's for us to understand. But we have to taste it. We're the ones that have to pick it up. We're the ones that have to do it. Write down 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 13 to 15. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because of they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Until we truly make room for God in our hearts, replace the natural with the spiritual, or let him replace the natural with the spiritual, we can't see into these deep things. And God, the thing I love about the definition of everything, it's always at his appointed time. It's always when he has something that we grow in that he gives the increase, right? It takes desire to understand. It's a mystery to this natural mind. You could say this mind is the most finite thing ever put together in the natural. There's nothing. There's nothing it's going to get that's going to help us spiritually. That spiritual life in us, the one that Christ put in there, that life that is him, that's going to understand all this. You know why it understands and recognizes the truth? Because he is the truth. Because he is the word. He recognizes the truth when he hears in us, in that life, and it recognizes the truth when he hears it, because it is him. It's God's wisdom in the whole thing, putting this all together. We just read in the ages prior, nobody knew. All to come to a place where he could take a people for his name, they would truly fall in love with him. And want to be. I mean, it was hard. You know, you try and picture holding his hand. And how's that hand feel? How big does it feel? It's crazy to think this is the sovereign of the universe. All of it. And God found that in his wisdom, in his plan, that he could put all the fullness of God into man. With him. With his son. It's incredible. I better carry this with me because I'm going to start losing my place. Do you ever know the worst thing that computers do when they print? It's when they do both sides. And then you're looking and flipping and... Okay, so contained within this hidden mystery, there's two more mysteries underneath there, all in the same mystery. But for Paul to break all this down for us and understand this, we need to really be able to see in the depth of this. So once you write this down, Ephesians 6, verses 17 to 20, the mystery of the gospel. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Perseverance, right? We get in a hurry. Want to know. We get in a... And then it says here, and then with all supplication for all saints. And for me, I pray for this all the time. This is Paul. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I pray for that all the time. In fact, I think the first time I saw Paul pray that was because, especially when we're young and we're trying to witness, you know, there's times that people totally reject us. They're going to until God puts a person in front of them, or until their hearts are softened to it. And there's times that you think you chased them off. I pray to speak it boldly. Pray to speak as it ought to be spoken. Pray that that truth flows through me to someone that can make them understand what God's truly doing. It's all around us. Remember last year we talked about the pine cone and the seed, that the whole fullness of that big old tree out there was all in that one little seed. It was all in us. It's all there ready for him to blossom and grow and polish and complete. The mystery of the gospel, I want to read this to you, and I don't know why. Sometimes I make notes that I'm not sure why I do, but God put it on my heart. The mystery of the gospel is that which is given to Paul, in turn given to us to make known to the saints. You ever notice that sometimes we misunderstand what Jesus was telling these guys, especially the Jew? When the millennium age comes, you know, because everyone now, we want to go out and preach to nations. That's not our place. That was their place. They will convert entire nations at one time. Ours is each other. The church we talk, we witness to one another, and the church grows like that. If we received all from God simply because we were saved, there would be zero reason for Paul to have written anything. None. We grow, and we grow in this by his grace. We grow in this because... We grow in this because we're submitting to his Holy Spirit to teach us, to grow in this and to understand. And then the fun thing about it, the beauty about it is, I'll move this chair. I'm on a trip. I walk around a lot. You guys all knew that. The beauty about all this is that it becomes more fun. It becomes more enjoyable. It becomes more. And then pretty soon as a sponge, you want to soak up all of it. If this was so, how foolish was Paul? If it was true that all of it was just given to us, how foolish was Paul in all the travails, all the sufferings, everything he went through? But he saw it. This is what I love about it. You know where he saw it? In Scripture. He was so well versed in the Old Testament, knew everything that was going on there, that when this was shown to him, every story made sense. The bride, Genesis 24, all of it. Esther, you name it. You name it. David, Solomon. I mean, all of it, everything just started falling into place, that his revelation came from a love of that scripture. And a love, and when understanding it, was that with Christ in him now, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, knew that all of that was there for him. He couldn't wait to tell us. We're still learning from Brother Paul. Preserved perfectly all this time. There's a difference, and that's why it's called a mystery. That's why it's given to us to understand, is because Paul knew that there was a possibility. There's a possibility that even knowing this and going this, that you would turn. And he says, even weeping. We have to want this, desire this, and as long as we're in it, he'll continue to grow us. And we never want a plateau. We want everything he's got, all of it. And it takes these groups like this, it takes us together, that not neglecting the need for us to assemble, for us to be together, for us to learn together, for us to share that love. It's Christ in us. Every single one of us, right? Write down Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, listen to this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Together in one all things in Christ. I'm not the best typer either. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, that you have, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There was two young sisters filled last night. Right? And I think according to Irma, there's two more that they're hoping tonight is. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. When I was reading this, I'm going to go back. The dispensation of times that might gather together in one all things in Christ. The mystery of his will. That all things, this is where it comes down to. That at one point, all things will be subject. All things. The purposes of his will. We're going to get down to talk about some deeper scriptures here. We get through this for what, how incredible this must really be, because Christ, for this bride, there was a change. And he himself will be subject. It's the most incredible working masterpiece that I could even imagine. It gets better and better and better. And the more we see, and I remember, you know, you're like, remember back way back when you first started getting certain revelations, man, I bet no one's ever even seen this before. And, well, you know, that's not true. That's how we grow. You know, at some point, every plant's this tall, right? Well, someone's. But at every point, everything's got to go through a certain order and a certain way to get to where it's at. That tree got to be 50 feet tall because it started out this tall. And we grow and we grow and we grow. I mean, we go from, I always like to say, from candlelight to sunlight is what we want, right? The mystery of the gospel is all in all, is all of it, everything we talk about. Why else would he present everything in a mystery form? Because if we don't take the time to dig, if we don't take the time to spend our time in the scripture, if we don't take our time to allow us to be separated, we'll stop growing. We don't want that. We need to have this word in our hand. We need to grow in this and then realize, truly realize what the prize is. Him. But God's getting out of this, something out of this too. He's getting us. He's getting a, however you want to call it, he's getting a wife for his son. A helpmeet for her. We had a, oh, I want to put this too, because then I said this in the scripture, the fullness, right? The fullness, if you write down in your concordance, the Greek word is 4138, pleroma. And it denotes fullness. That of which a thing is full. Examples would be of grace and truth manifested in Christ, John 1:16. Of all of his virtues and excellencies, Ephesians 4:13. And conversion, the conversion and restoration of Israel. Think about that. Conversion and restoration of Israel. Those things that changed everything for this age. All of it. What happened with those guys, what happened with them, will be restored. And they will come around. But I can't wait to see it. It's going to be incredible. And we're going to see it. We're going to be there to witness this. It's amazing. the conversion and restoration of Israel, Romans 11, 12. This fullness and this bucket, right? Every one of us is a vessel, right? A helpmate. We're there to help the husband. And that fullness that can be there, that fullness of everything that he can take is overflowing over the top. My cup overfloweth, right? That's the light we want to be. That's what we're growing into. That's the purpose of us being this. Write down Hebrews 2:8. Actually, 2:8 through 10. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. It is God's intention, really, and God's purpose and God's will, that he will put all things in subjection to his son. All things, even death, right? For in that he put all subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Why? It was not finished. We are his will, and we are be the part to fulfill that will. It's this hidden mystery. What God had planned, what God was putting before us, what God intended for us and for his son. And until the culmination of all that comes together, this isn't over. But I can tell you this, we're awful close. We are awful close. It could be right now. It could be tonight. I get goosebumps about it. And it could be any time. Everything's been fulfilled. But that one, there's a person there right now that is going to be part of that bridal company. And that person's going to be in it. All of us. We pray. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Perfect. It was God's grace that put him on the cross. And seeing us and seeing what he could do. And you've heard me say this. I mean, it's not like Adam was ever lonely in the garden. He fellowshiped with God. Jesus wasn't lonely in the heavens, but God saw fit that he should have a helpmeet fit for him. If we think about all these ages, I mean, really, if you think about the whole spectrum of time, these seven ages aren't that long. Not in God's eye. But time doesn't exist the same way. There's not a clock spinning in heaven. You know, we've got them, but it doesn't have that. God saw you and understood and knew you before, because we got plugged into a conduit of God that existed both directions forever. And I take such comfort in that, because knowing that he knew me eons ago, because Henry had been plugged in already. Because this is how everything works. We're plugged into a life that God had. There's no beginning and there's no end. But he knew you before he hung a star in heaven. Isn't that crazy? I mean, to me, that there's things about God that just blow me away. I just can't even imagine. I mean, and then to really come up with this whole plan of doing this and all this stuff falling into place and into order. You imagine all those guys that even Satan, when all this, Jesus goes to the cross, like, dang it. That's not what I thought was going to happen. Because for the hope, for the happiness, for the hope, for the glory, for he gladly took it. It's amazing to me. I mean, I get tears. I get thinking about this, that, you know, when he thought about you, when he thought about you, and then they hung him up there. I would just can't imagine that he knew he knows the hairs on our head. He knows everything about us, the sand on the shore, the stars in the sky, that all this, that I could even be a part of that. How minuscule am I? There's nothing that anybody in this world could find enough importance in any of us to ever think about us that way. Maybe a mother. But I'm going to tell you, for me to have been in the company just of the sand, I find amazing. To me, I've loved the stars my whole life. I sat and gazed at them growing up in Pagosa Springs as long as I can remember. I'd just sit out there and wait for a shooting star. And I'd go out and just wait and watch and just in awe of the heavens. And to think that's us. That's our group. I mean, I can't wait. Because every star is different than glory. And we want that glory of the sun. write down Psalm chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Which says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." When I say this thing is hidden, it just takes us looking. It takes us going, because he touches all throughout Scripture. I mean, in all reality, you could just start at page 1 and go all the way to the end, and it's all about one thing. Jesus, right? Job chapter 7, verses 17 to 18. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? This is kind of my point. There's nobody on this planet. I don't care who it is that you're going to put an importance on you to count you with the sand or in the stars or even think. And then if they did, they think you just want to be glorified here or magnified here. This is what he says. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him? And thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment. Why was he made a little lower than the angels? So he could bring you to glory with him. That's a mystery. Because I'm going to tell you right there, because that would not be the way anybody else would do it. That wouldn't be the way the Queen of England would do it, not the President, not anybody, not the King of Saudi Arabia. I mean, they might be willing to put you to death, but it's not going to be to glorify them or glorify you. But God saw a way to make love perfect through faith, to make love absolutely perfect for falling in love with this truth, with his son. It's crazy. I mean, I've talked about this before, but he puts Adam to sleep, the church asleep, taking something out, a bride, a rib, and knowing that even though that whole body existed, that old body cared. Not enough to go and say, this is what I want. Not enough to travel all the way from Kansas. Right? And, to set up on high that would be made low. Why was he made a little lower? So that he could bring his glory. Write that down. Job 5, chapter 8. Or I'm sorry, chapter 5, 8 through 11. The foretold, and I wrote this, Bodhi said this, and I always thought this was the foretold exaltation of man above the angels is made possible only by death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. The foretold exaltation of man above the angels is made possible only by the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. Wow. I mean, all this was written, and even typified, there's shadows of all this. Everything that we look back on the Old Testament, and we saw, and not just us, all of Israel saw that and never could put it together. But I was thinking about that on the way back up. What was the one in the temple, Nicodemus? When he saw Jesus there and knew everything that was going to happen to him in his life from Scripture. So then how did that happen? I mean, I think when I get to driving, I start thinking about things, right? How did he know that? You know why? Because his grandfather told him, or his father told him, or somebody else had a grasp for the love of God. that how important they truly were. And that however that got passed down to him, to recognize them in the temple. Obviously God did the revelation, right? Obviously God gave him the understanding. But what started it? It's like what Jesse was telling about my cousin, Ron. The first time he witnessed to me, because I'll repeat this, I mean, you always say the same thing. He asked me one time, do you know how you're going to heaven? I said, well, I'm a good guy. And I said, he goes, but do you know how? I said, I don't know. He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, died on the cross, raised again by the power of his Father? I looked at him and was like, well, yeah, don't you? But I'm going to tell you, this is how simple. You could never complain or never tell God or never tell anyone that you not making it was because of a lack of simple direction. Because I'm going to tell you, he just said, follow me. It's all right there. And as we grow in it, as we get closer to him, we start to realize that the simplicity in Christ is this. Love him. Love him. I mean, I remember thinking, man, I want that crown. I want that thing. I was in, this whole time, I'm young. I'm 20. I wanted a bank account. And to think that it was all laid out so simply. And all it took was for me to realize it's not about me, it's about him. That's the way God designed it. It was all about him. So with me, over time, but it was kind of the same thing. When you start to realize it's the new man in you that professes this truth, that passes this on. If you can kick this old natural dead horse out in the head all the time you want, you're not going to get any truth out of him. But the new man, absolutely. You know, God has no use for this flesh is dead. It's that new man in us, right? I mean, think of the mystery just in that. We're not even getting that. That there's a life in you that's not yours. Dwayne, it's not you. It's him. Oh, dang, I'm not even halfway. Holy cow. Isn't that crazy how time flies? Huh. But no, we're going to have to. Well, we're going to take a little break. So anybody has to go to the restroom, and we'll pick up, and then I'll speed up. About 10 minutes.